Well, thank you, Mr. Johnson. Good afternoon, brethren. Good to see all of you. Good to be able to say good afternoon again. You know, morning service is nice, but we sure enjoyed the morning at home. Beautiful day. So good to see all of you. Mr. Johnson took the words right out of my mouth, you know, coming back here. That was the first thing I was expecting to hear after, you know, we got done praying is the urn of the chair sitting back down. But it's a lot better. I mean, a nice facelift in here. So this auditorium certainly looks nice. Well, brethren, when you hear the words, be not afraid, what do you think of? Maybe we think of a Bible verse or two. Maybe we think about the song in our hymnal by that name. Or maybe we think, well, be not afraid of what? There are so many things that we could be afraid of in this world, aren't there? Is that really possible to just not be afraid ever of anything? What would we say are some of the most common things to be afraid of in today's society? There is, of course, a fear of heights. There's a fear of snakes, fear of spiders. There's even a common fear of going to the dentist. Maybe some of you have battled that in the past. And of course, there is the fear of public speaking. Hopefully, Mr. Bennett and I can overcome that one this afternoon as we speak. But these things are seemingly relatively minor fears in the grand scheme of things, aren't they? What about fears for our safety in today's world? What about fears of losing our jobs? What about fears possibly for your retirement? What about the fear of dying or fears for our economy? What about fear for our government and the leaders that are being put in office? What about the fear of wars all over the world, especially the increased fighting between Israel and Hamas as of late? How about the fear of the moral degradation of our society? Now, those can all be very real and very powerful fears in our lives. So when we hear the phrase, be not afraid, you may say to yourself, well, is it really possible to never be afraid of anything, of any situation that arises, to not be afraid of any circumstance that may come to pass? Is that even possible for human beings? Are we capable of overcoming all of our fears, or are we destined to live in fear in our lives? Before we go any further, let's define the word fear and the word afraid. Fear is defined as an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that something is dangerous, likely to cause pain, or it's a threat to us. And being afraid is very similar. It's defined as being unwilling or reluctant to do something for the fear of the consequences. And this concept of fear or being afraid comes up throughout the pages of the Bible. The word afraid appears over 150 times, and the word fear actually appears over 300 times in the King James Version. Clearly, this is an emotion that is common for everyone to deal with at one time or another in our lives. It's a feeling and an emotion that is so common in our society today. Mark Twain had this to say about fear. He said this. He said, courage is resistance to fear. Courage is resistance to fear. Mastery of fear, not the absence of fear. I like that quote because it's a reminder that from time to time, we may feel afraid. But we don't have to let it run our lives, do we? It doesn't have to paralyze us. We can work through our fear and master our fear through the courage, and we can overcome our fears. I think if we consider our human existence, fear is a human emotion that we are going to experience at some point in our lives. I don't think it's possible to never, ever feel any fear. So the question then becomes, well, then how am I going to deal with it? If I'm destined to deal with fear at some point in my life, then how am I going to deal with that emotion? Do I let it paralyze me? Do we let it drive our actions and our decisions? Do we allow it to rule over us? Or do we fight it? Do we fight fear? Do we go to God and ask for his help in overcoming fear? Here's my main point that I want to leave with you in my time this afternoon. With faith in God, we can overcome our fears. With faith in God and with his help, we can overcome our fears. Fear is an interesting thing because at times we might think that it actually wakes us up. We might think that fear drives us to be more alert, maybe makes us more focused. But not all fear impacts us the same way. We could say that, of course, there are different types of fear. There is, of course, fear that can be physically paralyzing, physically overwhelming. But there's also a different kind of fear that can cause grief or concern. Maybe it doesn't cause the same overwhelming, physical, paralyzing fear. If we think about fear that is more physical to us, maybe more paralyzing from a physical sense, science shows some very interesting physical impacts. Northwestern Medicine has this to say about what happens in our minds when we experience fear. In an article, they said this: fear is experienced in your mind, but it triggers a strong physical reaction in your body. As soon as you recognize fear, your amygdala, which is a small organ in the middle of your brain, goes to work. It alerts your nervous system, which sets your body's fear response into motion. Stress hormones like cortisol and adrenaline are released. Your blood pressure and heart rate increase, and you start breathing faster. As some parts of your brain are revving up, interestingly enough, other parts of your brain are actually shutting down. When the amygdala senses fear, the cerebral cortex, which is the area of your brain that harnesses your reasoning and your judgment, it becomes impaired, surprisingly. So now, it's difficult to make good decisions or to even think clearly. You would think that if you were afraid, your brain might jump into high alert and it might actually help you think more rationally. But what we see from science is that's actually not the case. The opposite happens. It becomes more difficult for us to reason and make good judgments when fear is impacting us. But the reality is fear is negatively impacting our judgment and decision-making abilities. On top of that, fear has additional impacts on our physical bodies. The potential effects of chronic fear on physical health include headaches turning into migraines, muscle aches turning into fibromyalgia, body aches turning into chronic pain, and difficulty breathing turning into asthma. Physical symptoms of fear also include feeling unsteady, feeling dizzy, lightheaded, faint, feeling like you're choking, a pounding heartbeat, palpitations, an accelerated heart rate. There are so many negative physical impacts that fear can have on our lives. So just on a physical level, we know fear doesn't help us. So if for no other reason than just our physical health, we might say, well, this is probably reason enough to try to keep fear out of our lives. But there is, of course, so much more than just the physical benefits. There are so much more than just the physical reasons of why we should fight fear. From a spiritual perspective, our faith and trust in God should push fear out of our lives. Let's dive into God's Word as we consider the topic of fear and overcoming it. Let's begin by considering what God's Word tells us. What are we told not to fear? What are we told not to fear? Let's turn to Psalms chapter 56. Psalm 56, and we'll read verses 1 through 4. Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me. O Most High, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his words. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? If our trust and confidence in protecting ourselves is solely in our own abilities, we will eventually fall short. We need God's protection. We need God's protection at all times. And I'm confident that there have been times in my life that God's protected me, and I was probably well aware of it. But I'm also confident that there are times that God has protected me, and I didn't even realize he was protecting me. There are so many things that can happen to us. How many times do you think you've been driving home from work or school or church or some kind of errand you had to run or maybe an event, and the person next to you in the car next to you or the person driving the other way may have been impaired somehow? Maybe they were distracted. Maybe they had been drinking, maybe they're on drugs, who knows? My point is, we don't know all the times when God's probably protected us and we had no idea that he was protecting us. And if we're being honest, there probably aren't too many things that make me realize how much I need God's protection more than driving in Atlanta traffic, if we're being honest. There's a lot of craziness on the roads. One vehicle makes a mistake or a wrong decision, and it could impact us in a heartbeat. Now, I could let that thought paralyze me. I could let it say, all right, I'm not going to drive anymore. I'm just going to stay at home. I'm not going to come to services. Or I could pray to God and say, God, help me overcome that fear. Help me trust in you. I can have confidence that God is able to protect me and my family while I'm driving and know that, as David said in Psalm 56, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in God. In God, I will put my trust. Trust and confidence in God's power and his protection can help us overcome fear in our lives. Isaiah chapter 41. God speaking here to the nation of Israel. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. It's not God telling Israel, well, you've got it all on your own. You know, I've given you the tools. You don't need me. You can take care of yourself. I've taught you enough. I've given you what you need. You can be self-sufficient. That's not what God's saying at all here, is it? He's telling Israel that you need to trust in me. I will be with you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. It's not because of your might. It's not because of your power. It's because you're trusting in me. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. When we have the creator and the sustainer of life protecting us, what do we need to fear? Psalm 118. Psalm 118 and verse 5. Psalm 118, verse 5. I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Over and over and over again, we're reminded throughout the scriptures that if God is on our side, we don't need to live in fear. When the Almighty is protecting us, what can human beings do to me? Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now there is a lot that's been said, and there is a lot that we could say about that passage. I think one important component of overcoming and pushing fear out of our lives is this. What perspective are we using to view our lives? What perspective are we using to view our lives? It is so easy for us to get caught up in the physical, is it not? Because we are physical. That's what we know. We know the physical. And so it's so easy for us to get caught up in the physical and forget that our calling and our destiny is so much more than physical life. And what happens when we get hyper-focused on the physical problems we have, as we just read, Christ tells us, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature. The worry and the fear won't fix the problem for us. They can't fix the problem for us. The fear doesn't help us think clearly. It doesn't help resolve the problem. But God loves us, and he will take care of our needs if we put our trust and faith and confidence in him. If we put our priorities in the proper order, God will provide for us. And this is a constant battle that we need to fight to win. Mr. Winter did a Bible study a few weeks back down our way. I'm sure it's the same Bible study that he's done in all the areas as of late. And he started by asking the question, what are the biggest things that we're battling in our lives today? What are the things in the world that we're fighting against? And of course, there is a long list of things that people came up with. But one of the things for me that's a battle is managing all the responsibilities, right? As a husband, as a parent, keeping the priorities in line. That's one aspect of what Christ is emphasizing here in Matthew 6. Keep the correct perspective on the priorities we have in our lives. Remember that our primary goal must be seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If we do that, a number of other things happen. First, God will provide our needs. That's huge. But second, our thought process and the way we view the world will change dramatically. We are going to look at things so much different when our first focus is the big picture. The minor things that happen to us day to day will not seem like mountains anymore. We can view them and react to them in a different context and with a proper mindset. Putting our priorities in line is a huge part, I believe, of pushing fear out of our lives. The knowledge and the understanding that God has given us is incredibly powerful if we embrace it. Can we overcome fear all on our own? Can we overcome fear all on our own? UC Davis Health out of California released a study, and it concluded that almost one out of three Americans struggle with an anxiety disorder. Not just normal, typical amounts of fear or concern. They acknowledge that there are normal levels of fear or concern that everyone's going to experience. But they also said in their study that one out of three Americans struggle with anxiety disorders. Anxiety that doesn't go away. It negatively impacts their job, it negatively impacts their work, it negatively impacts their relationships. Did God create us with the intent that we would live with constant fear and anxiety? Well, I think we can see clearly that he did not. That's not what he wants for his creation. He does not want us to live a life full of fear. This world needs God's help. We need God's help. We need God's instructions. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and we'll pick it up in verse 23. Jesus answered and said to them, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in my name, it will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give peace. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." When we turn ourselves over to God, it changes our entire lives. And I'm sure we've all experienced that. It changes our thinking. It changes our actions. It changes our perspective. When we love God, when we love Christ, when we live according to their instructions, and when we're called, when we repent, when we're baptized, and through the laying on of hands receive God's Holy Spirit, we have the very power of God living in us. And when we have God's Holy Spirit in us, that should drastically change our mindset compared to how we lived prior to God's Holy Spirit. It should help create a peace in our lives so that we are free from the fear and the anxiety that is so prevalent in the rest of the world. We need God's word. We need his instructions. We need the power of his Holy Spirit, and we need faith and confidence in him in order to fight and overcome fear in our lives. And Christ ends by saying, "Not as the world gives do I give you." When someone in the world says, "Peace be unto you," and that's probably an older expression that would have been more in Christ's time, but if they said, "Peace be unto you," that was a polite formality. It was like saying, "Have a good day." It's often said in passing as a polite courtesy, but that's not what Christ is doing. The peace that Christ is offering is real, true peace. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can have real, true peace, not a formality, not a greeting or a take care, see you later. It's a real peace that we can have in our lives so that when people see us and they interact with us, they can see in our actions, they can see in our words, they can see in our conduct, they can see in our body language that we don't live with the same anxiety that the rest of the world lives with. We're not controlled by fear because whatever happens, we know God loves us. We know God is in charge. He cares for us, and he will always do what's best for us in perfect timing. So if we want to overcome fear in our lives, we need God's help. We need God's help. We're not able to overcome it on our own. I believe we truly need God's help to overcome fears in our lives. What does that tell us about where our focus should be? Our focus should be on the big picture, making it into God's kingdom. When we lose focus on the overarching goal, we can allow smaller fears that are insignificant to get in the way. Rosa Parks had this to say about fear. She said, "I have learned over the years that when one's mind is made up, this diminishes fear. Knowing what must be done does away with fear." I like that saying a lot. Knowing what must be done does away with fear. I think it's in line with what we see in God's word. When we know God's way of life, when we know God's instructions, when we know we must live by them, I believe it helps us remove fear from our lives. Let's turn to Psalm 119. Knowing what must be done does away with fear. Psalm 119, we'll pick it up in verse 164. 7 times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. There is great peace in our lives when we know what to do, when we know how to live God's way of life, when we do it and when we practice it, and we hope in the faith and have faith and trust in God's protection and his comfort and the safety he promises. We have great peace in our lives. Now, are there things that we should fear? Or are there things that we could even say that God fears? Of course, we know that we must fear God. Fear of God is the beginning of knowledge, and we know that topic in and by itself is probably a number of sermons. Fearing God with the proper reverence and respect is vital for our spiritual growth and development. Now, I'm not going to go into that in my time. That's not the purpose of my topic. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and let's look at another angle of this. 2 Corinthians 11, as we ask the question, is there anything we should fear? We've been talking about removing fear from our lives, but is there anything we should fear? Paul writing to the church in Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly. And indeed, you do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, so Paul's saying that he's afraid of this, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. So here Paul is telling the church in Corinth that he has a fear or a concern that some of those in the congregation may be deceived. He feared that somehow someone could come in and preach a different gospel, a different Jesus, and that some in the congregation would be pulled away from the true gospel, a softer Jesus, an easier Jesus, a come-as-you-are Jesus, a do-whatever-you-want Jesus. There's no requirement for you, Jesus. That he had a fear that somebody would come in and tell you a story that sounded great, that sounded simple, and some would be pulled away. Now, certainly this doesn't say that God fears us leaving the church, but I believe that God inspired Paul to write this and inspired it to be written for our instruction and our admonition. We know that God is our Father and he loves us, and we are his little children. And I believe God has this same feeling toward us. It's not a paralyzing fear. I'm not trying to say that God's up there just wringing his hands, just so afraid that we're going to leave the church. But I certainly believe that God hates it when anybody walks away. I believe he is so saddened and so disheartened when somebody walks away from his truth. And I believe he is grieved if anyone turns away and is deceived by false doctrine. And I think this is also something that we should be on guard in our lives. Constantly praying, constantly studying, keeping our focus on God and his truth so that we aren't deceived. So that nobody's able to pull us away by some false doctrine to follow anything that isn't in line with God's word. Anything that isn't in line with his truth that we have been taught. Will we need fear in the future? Will we need fear in the future? In our world today, like we started out saying, there are so many things that we could be afraid of. Many people in our country are struggling with fear and anxiety. But is that what God intended for mankind? Is that what he intended for us? Will that be the case in the future? Let's go to Micah chapter 4. Let's read a prophetic scripture about the future and see if there will be any fear under God's government. Micah chapter 4, and we'll pick it up in verse 1. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. And we shall walk in his paths, for out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all people walk each in the name of his God," speaking about today, "but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever." Right now, in today's world, in today's society, people live according to their own standards. People walk each in the name of his God. You can live whatever life you want and be accepted for it. In the world around us, as we see in verse 5, people walk each in the name of his God. People make all kinds of things their God: money, power, prestige, fame, fortune, greed, drugs, promiscuity, the list goes on and on and on. Even having our children involved in sports, I'm sure many of you have seen this. Sometimes sports become a god for some people, devoting all their time to one thing. Many people are completely consumed by seeking their own pleasures. And what's the outcome we see around us? What is the outcome we see in the world? What's the fruit of making those things your God? Fear, worry, anxiety, pain. Anxiety disorders affecting nearly 1 in 3 people in the U.S. today. God did not intend for us to live in fear and worry constantly in our lives. We can see that clearly throughout the Bible. Verse after verse encourages us not to fear, but not because of our own power, not because of our own might, not because of our own ability, but because we have faith in God. In the future, in God's kingdom, there will be no more fear. When God is in charge and everyone is living according to God's way of life, there will be no need to have fear and worry and anxiety. And we can strive to build that same mindset in our lives today. By focusing on living God's way of life, by focusing on building our faith and our confidence in God and in His promises and in His power, we can grow in that confidence and assurance in Him. In his inauguration speech in 1933, President Franklin D. Roosevelt gave a very powerful speech to the nation, a nation that was in the middle of a Great Depression. This speech has been quoted countless times since then. And in that speech, President Roosevelt famously said, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance." President Roosevelt was encouraging our nation to realize that fear can hold us back. It can push through if we can push through and overcome our fears. We can accomplish great things. Fortunately, we don't have to overcome our fears all on our own. If we put our trust, our faith in God, He will help us overcome our fears through the power of His Holy Spirit working in our lives. As a final verse, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever." Let's put our trust and our confidence in God and be not afraid.